Well, thank you, Jonathan, very much indeed for reading those Psalms to us. As we come to them together, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your eternal word. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us of him, Jesus, now through what you have caused to be written, what you've spoken, and through what you speak now, Lord, as this word is brought to us. Please, Lord, bless us. Please challenge us, but also comfort us and assure us, Lord, that building the church is your work and that we can rest in that, knowing that you have got it and that you will do it right. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, these Psalms that we've just heard are really for the in-between times. The in-between times. They were sung by pilgrims on the way up from their homes to Jerusalem, to where the presence of God on earth dwelt. That journey, the in-between times. And now, for the Church of Jesus Christ, there for us to sing in the time between his ascension, we've just celebrated Ascension Day, and his return, when he will come to earth as judge and he will bring Zion. These Psalms speak of Zion, the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem, to his believing people. He has ascended to the heavenly city of Zion, having completed his work of defeating at the cross and the empty tomb sin and death and hell and Satan. And now he's trailing them, if you like, as captives in his wake, leading them and all God's enemies in triumph as captives at his feet. Jesus' ascension is glorious good news, brothers and sisters. No wonder that the writer of Hebrews, that great extended essay on the ascension, says of the Lord Jesus, after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He sat down because he'd finished the work that he'd come to earth to do as he walked as one of us. But he's not finished his work with us, through us. You see, he's not socially distant. He's present to all who'll trust in him today by his Spirit. And what is the ascended Lord Jesus Christ doing today by his Spirit, through his word, using us, his believing people? He's building his church. He's building his church. He is the chief architect of the Zion Project, if you like. He is leading us, believers in Christ, into what is his church building project, fitting folk for the new Jerusalem, for Zion, for heaven. That's what he's doing now. And he's praying for us, pilgrims. He's rooting for us as we walk his way. And he's left his Spirit so that through us, his work will be done. These are hugely encouraging psalms to be singing at any time, especially on the Sunday after Ascension. Three pictures then in these psalms are that the ascended Lord Jesus Christ is building his church. Three pictures of the church he's building, a project in which we're all involved if we're in Christ. Here are the three pictures: a harvest sown in tears, a city God is building, and a family God is growing. A harvest sown in tears, a city God is building, and a family that God is growing. Number one then, the picture of the Church of Jesus Christ as a harvest sown in tears. That's the theme of Psalm 126. I wonder what is your deepest desire? What is your deepest desire? An end to lockdown? To see the back of this horrible virus? To see family again? Grandchildren, maybe? To go on holiday again? Yeah, we talk, don't we, about a dream holiday. Let me tell you what the deepest desire, what the people of God back then most desired. It wasn't a dream holiday. It was a dream time for their church, if you like, for the gathered people of God. Verse 1. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. They looked back with fondness, the people of God back then, and the thing that they most desired was the prosperous time of the church, was the church in fine fettle, was times when the people of God, it was going well for them. That was much more important to them, the cause of God and his building project, than was their own personal situation, their own personal circumstances. God had sent them into exile because they'd been continuously rebellious against him. But in his grace and mercy and love, he'd restored them, and it felt wonderful. And they long for the people of God, for the church to prosper. They were filled with joy, verse 3, at all that God had done for them. And what's more, verse 2, the nations around them were taking notice as well. There was a crescendo of praise. It was missionary as well as being great for the church. Sometimes I'll hear members of our churches here in Enderby and Thurlaston looking back to the halcyon days, days when everything in church seemed rosy and bright, when perhaps we were more engaged in our communities, when every act of gathering was somehow more to our taste, or warmer, or more joyful, when everyone was united in mission and ministry, all pulling in the same direction. But you know, even if those days came about, they don't last, do they? Verse 4. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Notice things might not be so rosy in the church's garden. You know, in my experience, what happens often when church life becomes more challenging and less obviously fruitful, when the ground becomes hard and dry like the wadis, the stream beds in the Negev Basin used to become, folk tend to start feeling sorry for themselves, and enthusiasm for discipleship wanes, and grumbling increases, and evangelism tends to dry up as well. But what a challenge here from the pilgrim people of God, for us pilgrims today, to cry out to God in prayer, restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Unite us under your word. Mark us out by distinctive holy living. Make us earnest to share your gospel with others, to share Christ. Fill us with costly love for one another and for those around us in our communities. You know, we'll only do that, we'll only sing this psalm like that, this song, if God has already been deeply at work in our hearts. It's so easy, isn't it, to care more about ourselves than it is about Christ and his cause, his church. I want the Lord to restore my fortunes as much as I want him to restore the churches. But the dream of every Christian, the vision, the prayer of every church family that loves the Lord is restore. Restore our fortunes. Build your church here, Lord Jesus Christ. And if we truly know Christ, we'll know what our part in Christ's church building, Zion building project is. Sowing the word. Have a look at verse 5. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. The church of Christ, God's church building, Zion building project, is a harvest sown in tears. A harvest sown in tears. Sowing the word of God, spreading the gospel of Jesus, is often hard and thankless work. It involves sacrifice of time and energy and money. It invites cold, rejecting responses from many. even mockery. It requires long, hard work, often with so little to show for it. And the temptation of discouragement is never far away. Satan sees to that. But you know, Christ is ascended. Satan is defeated. And the stream beds, like the Negev, might be bone dry most of the year. But when the rains come, which very suddenly and very quickly they can, buried seeds that have laid dormant for years can suddenly germinate and spread. You may cry tears over many long months and years, over family members, over friends you've prayed and prayed for. You have spoken to the Lord about them. You'd love them to come to Christ, but with little or no return. But then suddenly, bang, the watering of the Spirit gives life, floods where there was just dry ground. Will you pray, pilgrim people, for this? Will you trust that God can do this as his Spirit takes the word that we are sowing? Is it your deepest desire, friends, that Christ be honoured, that his church be built here in Enderby and Lubbersthorpe and Thurlaston and all over this nation and this world? Please do this, Lord, for your church, we pray. Restore our fortunes. That's the challenge, the call of Psalm 126 then, to sow even through tears and to pray and to pray and to pray. Because, and here's the encouragement. There's one thing that no Christian, no church can ever say of Jesus Christ's church building project. It'll all end in tears. No, no, no. It will all end in joy. It'll all end in joy. Verse 5, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. We don't stop sowing the word of God just because we hit dry ground and shed tears. It won't end in tears. It's going to end in joy. Because the church that Christ is building is a harvest sown in tears, but a harvest that brings great joy. You see, there's someone who sings this and the other psalms before we do. And I don't just mean the pilgrims back then that we've spoken of. I mean Jesus Christ himself. He believed enough that God's church building project was going to end in a joyful harvest, that he sowed in very great pain upon the cross. Hebrews chapter 12 says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The ascended Christ knew that his church would be a harvest sown in tears, sown in pain, sown in blood, but that it wouldn't end in tears, but in great joy. And in the same place in Hebrews, it goes on, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It's a great song to sing, isn't it? When we're discouraged in gospel work, in sowing the word, when our desire, our deepest desire is Christ and his cause and his church building project, the tears will flow. They will come for sure, but then just as sure, the joy. Weeping first, but then harvest joy. We may get a foretaste. We may see in our time a measure of revival in this corner of Leicestershire. We may not, but the harvest's going to come. The harvest's going to come. That's the first picture and the longest in the Psalms of the church. The ascended Lord Jesus Christ is building a harvest sown in tears. But here's the second picture. A city God is building. A city God is building. Psalm 127, the first half, that's the theme. Say verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Here's the question. Who's building project is the church? Who builds the church? I will build my church, says the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the master builder and the guardian protector of his church. It's his project before it's ours. But here's what we tend to do, verse 2. This is what we're like. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. You know, even as a pastor, no, let me change that, especially as a pastor. If I think that the church is my project, my responsibility, I'll work like mad, I'll endure sleepless nights, I'll toil and toil away, morning, noon and night, and I'll struggle to bear the crushing responsibility of making people Christians. But you see, that's not my job. And it's not yours, Christian, either. You see, Jesus said, as bluntly as can come, he said, didn't he, apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. So if I think that building the church is my work, then when it's hard and I've been toiling away to no obvious fruit, no avail, I'll be crushed. But that's not how we're to see it. Notice the last line of verse 2. It's beautiful. For he, the Lord, grants sleep to those he loves. He grants sleep to those he loves. Taking time off work, taking time to rest is a gracious gift of God. And actually, it's an expression of faith, isn't it? Of trust, of dependence, because it says to the Lord, I believe, Jesus, that the building of your church, just indeed as everything else in my life, is your work. You can do it. I genuinely believe that you are the master builder and the watchman. Remember Psalm 121? We looked at it a few weeks ago as we started this series. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. You can sleep, Christian. You can rest because the Lord doesn't. We've got to get that into our heads, haven't we? And then kick it down into our hearts, as it were. It's so reassuring and liberating when we see it, because we are builders and we are watchmen and we are to be about God's building work of sowing his word. There is work to be done. We need that first picture of a harvest sown in tears. But we also need this second picture, that this is a city that God is building. Believing builders can rest and sleep because we trust that the building of Christ's church depends on him. Zion, city of our God, the eternal church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a city that God is building. So there are a first couple of pictures of the church of Jesus Christ, the one that he, the ascended Christ, is building, a harvest sown in tears, a city that God is building. And then thirdly and finally, the church of Christ, this building project, is a family God is growing. A family God is growing. And that's the theme as we look on from Psalm 127, verse 3, halfway through the psalm, right through to the end of Psalm 128. Because the city that God is building needs to be populated. And in these verses, it looks to all intents and purposes like it's about our marriages and our children. And it could be seen as, well, what happens if I haven't got those things? But don't worry, because you see, what the psalmist is doing here is taking a picture of admittedly a nuclear family, but much more importantly, pointing, using that image to show the spiritual family that Jesus Christ is growing, his church family. And I think that's especially clear in Psalm 127, verse 5. Have a look at it. It speaks of children contending with their enemies in the gate. That is, children who will fight the good fight of the faith, spiritual children. Psalm 128, verse 2 and 3, similarly, speak of fruitfulness in the family, godliness, lives that mirror God's character of justice and kindness and of love. This is a picture of a believing family, a spiritual family, a church family, growing as more and more spiritual children are brought into it through the new birth that the Spirit brings. We sow the seed of God's word. God works by his Spirit through it and through us so that the harvest begins and more people become children of God by being born anew into the family of their Heavenly Father. And they fight the good fight in turn and are fruitful, and they beget another generation of spiritual children, and so on it goes. And you know, the ultimate God-fearing man of these verses is the Lord himself, Jesus Christ. He never married, he never had kids, but countless will be the spiritual children given to him. Countless children who will be made like him and who will populate the city, the church that God is building. Sure, some of these blessings, they may come in this day as we see folk won for Christ in our communities, new spiritual children of their Heavenly Father. But one day they'll be fulfilled in that great multitude that will gather round Jesus with all believers, round his throne in heaven. So the application then from this final picture is to praise God from whom all blessings flow, and to pray that he would indeed pour out the blessing of new spiritual children in growing our local expression of the church families here and, of course, in the UK and all around the world ahead of that great day. So there we are, three pictures in these Psalms of the church that the ascended Lord Jesus Christ is building. A harvest sown in tears, sowing the gospel word. It's hard work, but it won't end in tears, but in joy. So keep sowing, keep praying. It's a city God is building. It's Jesus' project. It's his church before it's ours. We are to sow, but what a difference it makes to us as we go about our work, that we know that it's his work, so we can rest, we can sleep, knowing that he's still doing it. He's still building. And then finally, the family that God is growing, children born anew of the Spirit. One day, a great multitude. Let's pray for God to fill the earth with his people. Final Ascension time text, just to leave you with. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with what? Every spiritual blessing in Christ." Perhaps especially now in this pandemic, you might be struggling to see the blessings of being part of the church building that Jesus is doing. We can't even gather in the usual way. You may already have had to sow a lot of tears over family members and friends and so on. But if you love Jesus today, then you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in him. And you know, one day when he physically returns, after these in-between times are over, you'll be with him forever. And the toil and the pain will be gone. So keep going, pilgrim. Keep sowing and keep praying. Jesus is building a city. Jesus is growing a family. There will be a harvest. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for these wonderful pictures of the church that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is building by his Spirit. Please help us to keep going and sowing and praying, to trust you enough to lay down our work and rest and sleep, knowing that you still work. And Lord, that you would bring a great multitude from our communities to be with us around that throne in heaven, in the New Jerusalem, Zion, the heavenly city. That church building work, Lord, let us leave it with you for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, we're going to sing one last time in praise of our ascended King Jesus, priestly king and throne forever, high in heaven above. Sin and death and hell shall never stifle hymns of love. Let's sing together.